sermon text this morning is our epistle reading, the reading from Colossians, about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So an important question for you this morning. Do you believe in God? I'm guessing, yes, that is the case. You believe in God. It's a question most of us have asked or have been faced with at one time or another. If you're watching on online or you're listening on the radio, well, the same question goes out to you this morning. Do you believe in God? Most people would answer that question with a yes. Why, yes, of course, I believe in God. Now, what do they mean by that? It's a completely different story. It might be a God they've made in their own image. It may be a God that they have imagined or reimagined in their own likeness. So I want to get a little more specific about that. The next and most important question is, what do you believe about God? And that's an important and a very critical question, because even the devil believes in God, and so do all the evil angels. It is only the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. And certainly Satan says there's a God, but Satan has no faith in God. Satan and the evil angels believe in the Holy Trinity, and they believe in Jesus, but they have no faith. So what brings us here this morning is what we believe about God. What brings us here is our faith in our holy triune God. God the Father has had mercy upon each and every one of us. And even though we were separated from Him through the sin of Adam and Eve, which, by the way, gave us original sin and leads us to all sorts of actual sins, despite all that, God made us His children. In the waters of holy baptism, He bestowed upon us faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In this faith, He guarantees the glories of heaven for our everlasting possession. And this is not some vague, smoky promise that we use to bolster our courage when we are facing evil of the world. It's a definite reality, resting upon the promise of the ever-faithful God. So there's the question before us today. What did God do for us? What has our God done for us? The Holy Writer tells us this morning that God tore us out of the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son that He loves. And in this Son, Jesus Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So by nature, we Christians, like all other people in the world, are under the power and slavery of darkness and in the kingdom of Satan. In that kingdom of Satan, there is only curse and wrath and death and punishment with no ray of light or hope. As sinners held captive, we could only look forward to everlasting darkness, death, and damnation. But God rescued us, and He forcibly tore us away from the devil. God rescued us by sending His only beloved Son, His one beloved Son, Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Savior, who is the Messiah, Jesus, who is the Father's love in the flesh. The Father gave His Son into death for our sakes, reconciling the world unto Himself. The Father established the kingdom of His Son, the Church, and in Christ's kingdom we have the realm of light, where righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Spirit are ever present for us. By working the faith in our hearts, God has made us citizens of His kingdom. We are Christ's own. We live under Christ in His kingdom. We serve Him in everlasting innocence, righteousness, and blessedness and happiness. We have the forgiveness of our sins, and we have redemption in this Christ. Which might lead someone to ask the next pertinent and important question, just who is this Jesus, this Christ, that He can do such great things for you, as you Christians claim? Well, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God's essence is so far above humanity's comprehension and understanding that He had to reveal His love for us. And His love is revealed to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we can see the Father. Jesus can redeem humanity precisely because He is God in the flesh. For in Jesus all things were made. In Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, and in Jesus all things exist. The entire counsel of God with regard to creation was put into effect through the second person of the Holy Trinity, and that second person of the Holy Trinity is Jesus Christ. Everything, the whole universe, all that it contains was brought into being by the Son's creative power. Everything in heaven and on earth, both the organic and the inorganic, with mankind as their glory and crown, were brought into existence through the second person of the Holy Trinity. And all things, without a single exception, were created through Christ and His omnipotence. All things are dependent upon Christ. For His glory, they were created. The entire universe exists in Christ. Through Christ's power, they hold together. And if for an instant Christ would cease to be concerned for all of us, then we would cease to exist. Jesus keeps all of creation in its proper place and in its right relationship to one another. Jesus sustains the world and all of its parts. Jesus Christ is the creator, the preserver of the world, true God with the Father from all eternity. That is who Jesus is. Which might lead us to the next obvious question. What is your relationship to this all-powerful Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the first, the preeminent of all. And what did He do? He brought about the cleansing of the world through Himself. He took away our sins. The Father rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves. And since we now have redemption through Jesus Christ, we now belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus' kingdom, and His kingdom is the church. All faithful believers are united to Christ, members of the body of which Jesus Christ is the head. Bound together with Jesus, the redeemed take part of all the blessings and glory that belong to the Lord Christ. Jesus is the beginning, and without Him, the church could not exist. In fact, it could not have ever come into being. Because Jesus rose from the dead, then you are connected to Jesus. What does that mean for you? It means you too will rise from the grave. You will rise from the dead. And that is how, in the waters of holy baptism, you are connected to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus is the first in the resurrection. Jesus is the first in glory. Jesus is the ruler in the kingdom of power. Jesus is the ruler in the kingdom of glory. Jesus is the ruler in the kingdom of grace. You are connected to this Jesus through the waters of your holy baptism. And in this Jesus, you have everlasting life, which leads us to the next obvious question that someone might ask. How did Jesus do all of this? Jesus paid the ransom through which we were delivered from the power of Satan. In Jesus, immeasurable mercy and love, for He gave Himself for us on the cross as our substitute. He took our punishment, even though He was innocent. He was the sacrifice that all of the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to. He took our punishment even though He was innocent. He is the blood payment of our debt for sin and the breaking of God's holy law. And we now have the forgiveness of all of our sins in our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses you from all your sin. His blood makes you free from the guilt of all your sin. Jesus did all of this through the cross. Jesus lived a perfect life in your place. He did everything that you cannot do. He exchanges places with you. And He can do this because He is God and God in the flesh. One for the many. Only God can do that. On the cross, Jesus bore the punishment for the sins of the whole world. Jesus made peace with the Father by the blood of His cross. Jesus satisfied the justice of the Father. Sin must be punished, and Jesus stepped into your place and my place and the place of the entire world and took upon Himself the punishment for sin. And when Christ was nailed to the tree of the cross, it was in punishment for the sins of the entire world. At one and the same time, Jesus' blood atoned for our transgressions, and Jesus' blood turned the heart of the Father back to us and changed the warfare that existed between God and humanity to a state of everlasting peace. All of that is that which Jesus has done, and all of that is what Jesus has done for you. So what did God do for you? He tore you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His Son whom He loves. Who is this Jesus that He is so powerful? He is the very love of God. He is the love of the Father in the flesh. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is the one through whom all creation came to be. What is your relationship to Jesus? You belong to Jesus. You belong to His kingdom, the church, and He gives you eternal life. And how did Jesus do all of this for you? Jesus paid the price of sin by living a perfect life in your place and dying an innocent death upon the cross. He sacrificed Himself so that you would live forever. For all this, we thank and praise, serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.